Hey everybody, Dungeon Master Bobby Shortle here, doing something a little different, coming to you over the top of this thing, because we're doing things a little differently. This is our series of interludes. You're going to get three separate stories, character moments with Thrace, Henley, and then Julian. Next up is Henley, and he's going on a pub crawl with a certain goblin named Stewie. Enjoy. So, Brian, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're going to level old Henley Little Peen up a little bit here.
Excellent.
So, you are currently at level 5. You're going to go up to level 7.
Ooh.
So, the first thing you need to do is, what is your hit die?
Hit die is a...
It's like a D8 or something?
It's a D8.
Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to roll that twice.
A 5.
Okay.
And an 8.
Nice. So it's 13. Okay. And add your constitution modifier twice.
Oh, wow. So that's 2 plus 2, so 4, so 17.
So that adds to your maximum hit points.
Oh, a solid 5-0.
You get a new skill for one thing at level 7.
Oh yeah, evasion.
Evasion, yeah. Beginning at level 7th level, you can nimbly dodge out of the way of certain area effects such as Red Dragon's Fiery Breath or an Ice Storm spell. When you are subjected to an effect that allows you to make a dexterity saving throw to take only half damage, you instead take no damage. If you succeed on the saving throw and only half damage,
that is outstanding
if you fail.
News.
Yes. So your dex saves become very, very easy at this point. For you.
Okay.
Which is very nice. Now you have 4 first level spell slots, and now you, for the first time, have second level spell slots, which is great.
This is all good news.
Yeah, because two second level spells are can be very powerful. Okay, at 6th level, you get an expertise.
Where do you see that?
So on the first page of Rogue.
Yep.
Do you see the little chart?
Yes.
It says 6th level expertise, and also your sneak attack is now 3d6.
Ooh, that's good.
So make sure you write that down. Actually, it's 4d6 now.
No, it's 4d6. Yeah. It was 3d6.
I think the last time that you used it, it should have been 3d6, but you did it as a 1d6. So
that is absolutely correct.
So make sure.
But hey, I'm alive. The other people are dead.
This is very true.
Comes out in the wash.
At 6th level, you can choose 2 more of your proficiencies in skills or with thieves' tools to gain this benefit. So, expertise. All right. At 1st level, choose 2 of your skill proficiencies or 1 of your skill proficiencies and your proficiency with thieves' tools. Your proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check you make using these. So you did that, obviously, when you first made your character.
Yeah.
At 6th level, you can choose 2 more proficiencies.
Do I need to do that now?
I mean, you don't have to do it right now, but you probably should, so you don't forget. So you know what those are, right? The little bubbles?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So I would just bubble in 2 more things?
Yep.
And then does that number go up?
Well, yes, because right now it'd probably say...
I got 2s, I got -1s, I got 0s.
Yeah, it's
got,
whatever your... Yeah. You know, whatever you have... Like, it corresponds with whatever skill
yeah,
it pulls
of
off of.
Yep.
Now you would add 3 to it, whatever you bubble in, because it's your proficiency bonus. You get in those things.
I know this is extremely elementary, but forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just use acrobatics for a second here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I had, and I wasn't proficient in it. But I would add 2 to anything acrobatic because that was my dex modifier before it became 3.
Right.
So now that it's 3, again, I need to go erase all these and put them in for the right numbers. But if I bubble that in, that would be a 5? No.
Well, it depends. Yeah, it could very well be. Like, anything, like, when you started, right, you had a +2 proficiency bonus?
Yes.
So whatever you bubbled in was 2 on top of whatever your modifier was on your skill.
Which was deception, so I gave myself 4 instead of 2, because I already had the charisma bonus of 2.
Right, yeah, so now that would go up to 5.
because your proficiency bonus is now 3. So anything that you're proficient in goes up across the board.
Okay. But I can choose more other proficiencies.
Yes, this is what it's saying. Now you can pick 2 new ones on top of what you've already picked.
So it's both?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
All right, so I'm going to go for, I guess, intimidation.
Okay.
We'll go with acrobatics as well.
Okay.
So each of those get bubbled in, and I just give it...
+3 or whatever's already there. Right now, next to acrobatics, you should just have plus whatever your dex modifier is.
Which is 3.
Yeah, so now it'll go up to 6, because now it's bubbled in.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're getting up there, man. Now, you know, you're not first level bullshit anymore.
I think I have too much stuff here, though. Like, and this might...
Well, no, because when you started, your skills, you choose 4 right off the bat.
Yes.
And now you're choosing 2 more, so you should have probably 6 total?
Yeah, I have 8. So do we do
that?
Oh,
no, no. No, you're fine.
Right?
Yeah, but no, you're good, because you get an expertise at first level, too. So you got 2 on top of the 4 at first level. So you should have had 6 to start with.
But does it make sense?
Now you should have 8.
Right, that my, persuasion, for instance, I've got +4 because I just went up 1 because of the dex modifier, which happened a while back. It was a 3, now it's a 4. But if I had chosen to increase that again, it would have gone up 3 or would have gone up 6.
Wait, start off again. Persuasion, you're talking about.
You can't double dip, right? You either already are proficient in it,
or yes,
you're not.
No, you can't double dip, no.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Just off the top, I mean, I'm just going to read the things I'm proficient in. If these sound like they make sense, acrobatics is 6 and intimidation is 6 because I just added those.
Right, yep.
And then I've got 5 for deception, 3 for investigation, 0 for perception because I used to have a -1.
Oh, okay.
4 for persuasion and 3 for sleight of hand and stealth. I mean, that sounds kind of right.
Yeah. You only have wait. Oh, because... No, what are you... You're proficient in sleight of hand and stealth?
Yes.
So you should have more than 3.
They used to be a 2, and then when I went up to my dex modifier being 3, they became 3s.
Yes, but now they should be 6s because you just made yourself proficient in them.
But I've always been proficient in them.
Okay, so you were doing the math wrong.
Okay.
So basically... Anything that's bubbled in automatically has 3, +3, automatically, now.
Okay, so there should be no 0.
Anything that's bubbled in.
So it should be a 2, because my modifier, my wisdom modifier was -1.
Right, yeah, whatever, yes. So, and then you add whatever the modifier is in strength, dexterity, constitution, whatever skill you're pulling off of. So... Stealth, let's say, all right, is pulls off your dex. So your stealth modifier is what?
I mean, 3.
Your dex.
My dex modifier is 3.
So
yes.
Now and that's bubbled in, right?
Yep.
So it should be a +6.
Got it.
Yeah.
So then that makes sense. That makes sense. All this is good.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay. All right. So let's set the stage now for what we're doing and where we are.
Okay.
So after you defeated Riley and got the magical item out of the dragon. You transported the dragon, obviously, a few hundred feet away from you and destroyed the Naga, which was already going to be destroyed, to be fair, but you moved it just enough so also other homes that had not been evacuated were destroyed. So,
I mean, if they hadn't been evacuated by then, I mean, that's kind of on them.
Right, but you moved the dragon enough where the zone of evacuation was moved.
I think you're playing too close to the vest there.
I don't think so. I think that... You could have literally taken the dragon anywhere, but you took it 100 feet away, 200 feet away from where you were standing.
Okay, so am I? Are you calling me a murderer?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Calling all of you murderers. But you dropped the dragon.
But Thrace and I was going to say Bob. Thrace and Julian are guilty by felony murder rule. I'm the actual murderer.
Yeah, yes. Though I think if we go back and listen to the tape, I think that... They had a part in where you took the dragon. But so you did that and you got the item and then you transported back to Phandalin and you handed the item over to to Gizmoto for safekeeping for the time being. You've now been waiting in Phandalin for about a month at this point.
Okay.
They have been searching for the next item, but they...
So I am well rested.
You are well rested. they haven't managed to find the next magical item yet, so you are all sort of on hold while they wait to...
Is this like in Bruges?
In what way is it like in Bruges?
Just holding pattern. Don't know how long I'm going
to
be here.
Yes, that's exactly right. They've given you a nice room to stay in, and you have kind of your run of the town. You've gotten to know people in this month. You've been able to go about your business and do basically whatever you want, and you're free to come and go as you please, obviously, but Phandalin is the only for sure safe place that you guys know of right now.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question just to set the scene here. In this month that Henley has been hanging out in Phandalin, what has he been getting up to? What has he been doing?
Well, he has been getting schnockered pretty much every night, but also is trying to run a long game on a young lady, and he's heard that she might have some money, and he's trying to figure out if he can get his hands on it.
Okay. So he's been up to no good, basically.
Pretty much.
He really, the leopard cat changes spots at this point. He's been spending the last month of his
stripes.
He's been spending the last month of his life trying to basically stop the end of the world as far as he knows it.
Yep.
And now he's just trying to play a grift on a young woman in the town.
Well, it's like the right after the cold open of Skyfall. Mm-hmm. Like James Bond is just like, I'm done, dude. Like I just. I'm giving myself a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got shot off of a train by my own people. All right, maybe it's not quite like
that's not what happened. No, you didn't get double crossed or blown up. You literally came back to this town, which has welcomed you with open arms, and now you're trying to take advantage of one of its citizens.
That's correct.
So, what kind of money are we talking about with this woman? What amount is Henley playing for here?
Well, he'd overheard her in one of the pubs saying that she'd had a distant relative pass recently, and that there was a sizable inheritance.
Ah.
He doesn't know what sort of dollar figure, or how much gold or treasures we're talking about, but he did overhear those words, sizable inheritance.
Oh, wow. So Henley really is. He's
dirty, rotten scoundrelsing her.
Okay. And so what has he been doing to play game?
He's been basically trying to convince her that he is a famous magician from a few towns over, and that he needs an assistant for his act, and that it will pay very well because he's very well known, but he needs to get her trust in order to continue and get more details about what she has as far as this money is concerned. So even though she may be well off, she has taken a bit of an interest to the game and the art of illusion, if you will.
Okay. So we're going to have to come back to this story at some point and see how Henley succeeds or fails.
This story, you mean the one that I just made up?
The one you just made up. What's this young lady's name, by the way?
Evanfall.
Evanfall. That's a very nice name. That's very
good. Evenfall.
Of course. I know Henley would know how to spell her name. For sure.
By the way, whoever said on Twitter that that was very funny, the character trait, that meant a lot to me. I want to say thank you on the air.
So you're playing this long game, you're playing this grift. I'm guessing Henley is not really even too worried or too anxious or too getting too, I guess, cabin fever is the wrong word, but getting a little bit impatient with...
I've got all the time in the world.
Exactly. So you're just cool with, hey, this
more
is
more like James Bond references the whole day.
This is just like a vacation for Henley. Not anxious to get back to work, basically.
And actually, this is more of a question for you than it mm-hmm. is for me telling you. But I would imagine Thrace and Julian have not been up his ass this whole time, right?
You guys have seen each other, definitely, and have interacted a few times.
But we haven't been bonded together as like do or die brethren the way that we have.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
You know, in fact, you've happened across maybe Thrace and Julian hanging out without you at times.
Okay.
So they've definitely been sneaking a pint at the bar without you knowing. So how do you think Henley would feel about that?
In character.
Yeah, in character.
What you all about? Ain't no one gets a drink around here without me knowing about it.
Does he feel betrayed, or does he just like brush it off?
I mean, I might feel betrayed if it were true, but I can guarantee you that nothing goes on in this town without me knowing about it. And they have not been sneaking pints, because I'm in every bar all the time and every night. I'm in every bar every night.
All right, good to know.
At the same time.
So one of the nights when maybe you're playing your grift, or maybe you've just finished, I don't know, your fake magic show with Evanfall.
That's actually the name of it.
The fake magic show with Evanfall?
No, just the fake magic show.
Okay. She's not very bright then, if she doesn't realize that what's going on. You get a... let's say that. You are walking back to your room, and from behind you, when you pass a building, you hear the voice of
you,
Stu.
You hear.
You hear.
You slipped into a thing.
Yeah. You hear the voice. You hear the voice, a very familiar voice. Hey, Henley, how you doing, man?
Stu, is that you?
Of course, brother. How you doing?
I'm great. I haven't seen you in I forgot the last time I saw you, to be honest, but I haven't seen you in a while.
It's probably about a month ago, that whole adventure in the Naga with the dragon and everything.
Oh, that day where I murdered all those people.
Yes. I gotta tell you right now, the people never went are not too happy with you. Any three of you, you guys should probably avoid that.
I mean, but... Alright, I can understand the sentiment, I really can. But, honestly, how they know it was me?
Well, you warped a dragon across a town.
Right, but
words friends.
Maybe that dragon warped itself. I mean, who am I to say?
Maybe I was drinking in a bar. Maybe I had too many drinks, and maybe I was telling stories out of school.
Sorry. I've been saying talking out of school a lot because I've been listening to the West Wing Weekly podcast. Like, they say that all the time.
Okay.
Or they say it on the show, mm-hmm. and like they reiterate it. But I haven't ever used that phrase in my life. And then you say it.
There you go. But
all right, so what you're telling me is that you've been spreading around rumors. Well, all right, true facts, but spreading around true facts about me.
Yeah, well, we are telling the stories about our adventure. You know, it makes you look good in the bars.
Are you trying to leverage that with the ladies and explain that you were part of a great adventure? You should maybe. Oh, I forgot you were married, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but you know. Different zip code.
Bobby, I'm so sorry. It's so funny.
But, you know, that being said, I was thinking, you know, people keep asking me to show some proof or to bring somebody along. I was wondering if you want to come drink it tonight at the bar, and then we could tell stories together, get a lot of free drinks, have a good time.
Stuart, I'm very sorry. I gotta just ask you a question.
Of course.
You asking me to go to a bar where there may or may not, but likely may, be free drinks and embellished stories or may or may not have been a part of.
That's absolutely right.
What part of that do you think I would ever say no to?
None of it. That's why I asked you and not one of the other two.
And I'm just gonna slap Stewie right on the ass and say, Let's go, brother.
All right. Well, you know, we could walk to Neverwinter, or you could use that fancy phone doodad of yours, and we could go there quickly.
All right. I was gonna transport myself and leave you behind.
That wouldn't be a very fun conversation.
No. All right. I'll tell you what. I'll get us there. I'll fly. You buy. And I grab him by the hand, hit the button, and we go to. Oh, what pub? Wait, I can't ask you that question. Hey, where are we going? No, I'm doing Stewie. Jesus. Hey, Stewie, what pub you want to go?
Let's go to the Digging Pony. That's the last in my rotation. That's up on the rotation for me.
All right, well, they got all these specials tonight?
I think tonight's ladies' night.
Excellent.
Which means there'll be all guys there.
Paying a one gold piece cover.
Yeah.
So I grab Stewie by the hand and hit the button for the Digging Pony, and bloop, bleep, blop, bleep, boop.
All right, so you come to right in front of the Digging Pony, walk in, and the place is hopping. It's packed. There's a band playing in the corner. Just as expected, it's mostly dudes. Just like leering at the door, waiting for women to enter the bar.
The way you're bathing lie.
Yes, there's a live cover band playing at the place tonight. Good luck with that, Justin. And you and Stewie have a seat at a table. And Stewie goes up and gets you two big casks of ale and brings them back to the table. You guys proceed to just start drinking, you know, and people come over and they ask you to tell your stories and your tales of your adventures. And, you know, you guys tell your stories and you embellish a little bit here. You know, there's some truths, some lies, but people are buying you drinks and you're having a great time. And you're pretty deep in on the drinks, but you're both feeling it at this point. And you know, you finish telling someone else a story, and they walk away, and you turn to laugh with Stewie, and he's kind of silently staring off, like a thousand yard stare, staring into the middle distance, slowly sipping his ale.
Hey, Stewie, what you on about? What's going on? What was in that head of yours? Oh, it's a little small head. Not a lot going on. Not a lot of gears turning. But you look to be a little bit. I don't know, perplexed.
You know, guys, I say guys, but it's only
it's
one.
Just
it's
me.
Just one of you is
just
here.
Just me.
Just one of you is here. I'm thinking about everything I saw while I was in the cult and everything they were doing and they had us do. It's scary stuff, man.
I got an idea. Just stop thinking about it.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Just stop it.
Especially,
I mean, that's how I deal with my problems. I just stop thinking about them.
How's that working out for you, Henley?
It never works, but I figured I'd give you some advice.
You know, I think about it more now too, because I like the three of you. You know, you guys have done right by me. You could have killed me, and you've been every right to kill me. You didn't.
I believe we did promise we were going to kill you.
You did, but then you saw me again. You didn't kill me, so I feel like that's a pretty good sign. You know, I helped you guys out, and you helped me out, but I know you have a lot of stuff you need to face down before this thing is over. And the things I heard and the things I saw.
All right, so give me an example. What's the thing that's plaguing your brain right now?
Well, you know, to enlist the members.
I'm sorry, that was supposed to be a burp. I can't actually burp on cue, but Justin, thanks, buddy. Excuse me.
When they initiated us, it's okay, you're excused. When they initiated us, they told us about the reason why they were doing this, some horrible, nameless monster that was going to consume the world, and only by them taking it over could they stop it. Only by getting these powerful items could they stop it. And they made us sit through these sounds, these recordings, these horrible screams, and it was terrible.
It sounds like a training video.
It was like a training video, but it wasn't about, like, sexual harassment or...
Or the right way to lift 25 pounds.
Exactly. Live with your legs, not with your back. Not one of those ones. It was really terrifying. But... And I don't... Again, I don't know if they were lying. Now I'm thinking maybe they were lying. But
where have they ever given you cause to believe them?
Well, these magical items you guys are looking for seem to be real.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the greater propaganda of it all. Like, all they want you to do is be a mindless drone. I mean, you don't got a great mind, but you got a mind. And you've been able to figure out everything they're saying is bullshit.
That's very true. You're not wrong about that factor. The other thing, and this is the thing I'm most worried about. The guy in charge, he's very big on schemes and plans, which I'm sure that you know by now.
I'll walk me a good scheme. I'll walk me a good plan. I also love it when a plan comes together.
No more good quotes from you. One of the things that they talked about was there's a castle, and they didn't say where the castle was, but I'm pretty sure one of the items is there. And they
were. Do you know which one?
Which item or which castle?
Which item?
I don't know. I don't know what any of the items are. I just know one of the three items was there, and I'm guessing you guys have found two at this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. But yeah.
There you go with your secrets again.
I'm just saying, Stu, look, it you kind of like, you know, you know, I can't do it. I was gonna go for like a Pete Best Beatles thing, and then it turned into Def Leppard losing an arm, and I couldn't make a good reference. So.
Okay, all right. So moving on, that was a good introduction.
Sorry,
it's all right.
So, they were talking about this castle and the area in front of the castle, and how they were installing some sort of and creating and conjuring some sort of maze of death that whoever wanted to get there would have to go through. And I mean, they were dealing with really serious magics here, resurrection magics, and bringing in all sorts of horrible monsters to guard this place. And I just know you guys are going to have to go there before it's all over.
I mean, I think we've handled ourselves pretty well from here on. You know, I mean, all that's a bail. But what you're telling me is that there is a castle and there's an item. You don't know where the castle is. You don't know what the item is. But you're scared that I'm going to have to go to this castle to get that item.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Can you understand a little bit? It's not very helpful at all.
Well, I mean,
although I did just ask you to tell me about your feelings, so I appreciate you at least getting it off your chest.
The other thing is that what I heard too is that they have some vampire guarding at the castle.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
So and they were talking like that vampire had run into you guys at some point.
They're fop.
But that's all I know, and if that can help any of your plans or your...
It might.
I mean, you can't just put, like, castle into the phone, right?
I cannot just put castle in the phone. I can put middle of the air over goblin hideout / bar /...
It was a gnome hideout!
Oh, I mean, I meant gnome. I get those words confused all the time. I got a serious question for you, though, Stewie.
Yes.
Was my glass empty?
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Just be careful, all right?
I have had ale before.
No, not with the ale. With your life. With everything that's going on.
I can handle myself. I've been on my own for a very long time.
And can I just tell you one thing? And I don't mean to speak again out of school about something. But just look out for Julian. They talked about him an awful lot before I ever met you guys.
What did they say?
It just seemed like he was important to whatever they were doing, and they needed him. I don't think they had, I'm not saying that they had any communication with him. I'm not saying that.
But
they were aware of him.
But I want you to tell me right now everything you know about Julian from before you met us. What did they tell you?
They
know his name. They know where he's from. They know his power.
They know his name.
What did they tell you?
They knew his name. They said where he was from, but I couldn't understand the words. I couldn't even repeat them to you.
It's because you're not very bright, but I appreciate you trying.
But it was a language I'd never heard before when they said the name. They said that they needed his power and that if things were going to go forward, they would have to figure out a way to either use him or get rid of him.
All right. That sounds pretty serious.
Yeah, it did sound pretty serious. And I don't know why he's so special to them, but I feel like there's got to be something he's not telling you.
You know what else sounds pretty serious?
What?
Justin, please put a fart in here. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It stinks, but it's okay. I think that's our cue for another beer. All right?
I'll gladly take one.
All right. Barkeep! And they bring another beer over, and you guys have a few more. And then you're just staggering home. You warp back to Phandalin, and you're a little wasted.
I want us together, like stumbling drunk, to be singing a song.
Okay.
So I'm just going to think of like two lines. We'll do it together, okay?
All right, go ahead.
It'd be like, no matter what you do, this goblin's here for you.
Okay, I got it. I like it.
And it's going to be a... I'll do it in character a minute. It would be just like, no matter what you do, this goblin's here for you.
Okay, you got it.
Ready? Two, three, four.
No matter what you do, this goblin's here for you.
We'll try to get... Oh, wait, what's that?
And you can see adjoining street, you see Thrace also walking back into town. And you see someone run up to Thrace, and you hear the words, "Quick, come quick! We think Gizmodo might have found the last magical item."
Big thanks to Justin Riley, our sound designer and sound effects guru. He does amazing work and he continues to do amazing work. He uses BattleBards and Tabletop Audio, which are BattleBards.com and TabletopAudio.com, for the sound effects and stuff that he uses. They're great for if you're doing a podcast like this or just your own home game. So check those out. Follow us at D&D Adventure and please, please, please leave a review on iTunes. It means the most to us. Until next time, we'll see you later.